I'm Burl again, and I'm still an addict. Thank you for attending. Our task is to fan the flames of desire workshop. At this time, I would like to introduce our first speaker. But first, this is real special to me because a sponsor is like a home group, and you have to find the one or the ones that are perfect and best fit for you. And our first speaker is my sponsor, and I give you Donnie W.
I love you all too. I'm an addict. My name is Donnie. And it's good to be here. And welcome. Welcome to everybody. I'm glad Burl is up here, you know, because like you say, he is my sponsee, and it makes me a little bit more comfortable. And when he was hugging me, I said, I'm nervous, you know, and he tells me something that I always tell him. He whispered back in my ear, just tell the truth, you know, and that's what my sponsor always told me. You know, when I got this topic, you know, when they mailed it to me, you know, because I'm not like a computer person, so if it don't say on and off, I'm lost with a computer. But when they mailed me this topic, you know, they just said fanning the flames, and didn't say the flames of desire, and I was confused. I'm like, damn, do they mean when my ass is on fire, am I fanning the flames, or, you know, because that has happened a lot of times in my recovery too, believe it or not. But you know, I sat down, and I thought about the topic, you know, and I thought to myself, you know, do I write something down, do I swing it, or whatever, you know, and I decided, you know, that my best experience, and what do you want?
Yeah, there you go.
My best experience for me is just when I, you know, when I share from the heart, you know, because.
Is that better?
Is that better? Can everybody hear me? All right. Yeah, okay. But, you know, I just need to share from the heart, you know, because when I write something down and when I'm trying to whatever, you know, it just doesn't come for me. But, you know, like I said, you know, been around here a minute. You know, I started using it at an early age, you know, and it just kind of took off for me. I started smoking pot at 12. You know, by the time I was 13, it was the LSD, 14 PCP. And by the time I was 15, I was shooting BAM, you know, and I shot BAM for a lot of years, and it just, like, progressed from the BAM to the cocaine, from the cocaine to the dope, and then just pretty much that was the beginning of the end. You know, I used for a lot of years. You know, there's a lot of jail time in my story, you know, but what I'm here to talk about today is my recovery, you know, because that don't mean anything. You know, our literature tells us it don't care what, how much, where you use, who your connections were, but what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. You know, and that's what I'm here to do. If I just touch one person out here today, then, you know, what I've done, what I've come here to do today has been completed. You know, it's been satisfactory for me. You know, March 10th, 1995, you know, I checked into this rehab center. You know, up in Sykesville, Maryland. You know, I know that treatment is not a part of NA, but it is a part of my story. You know, and I went into that treatment center not knowing what to expect, not knowing what to do, you know, and not having a clue as how to live life. You know, things were actually on the outside pretty good, you know, going on in my life. You know, I had a job, you know, that I worked every day. You know, but my insides were just like, you know, it was just nothing left. You know, I couldn't use. I was just sick and tired of who I was looking at in the mirror on a daily basis, you know. And what happened for me was I went into that treatment center with an open mind, you know. Well, that's not entirely true. I went into that treatment center because I wanted to stop shooting dope. You know, I still thought that I was going to be able to leave that treatment center, smoke pot, drink beer, and live a normal life. You know, no, not counting all the times I tried that shit. You know, not counting all the times I, okay, well, the dope is my problem. I'll just do coke. okay, well, the coke and the dope is my problem. I'll just smoke pot. You know, I ended up each and every time back on the corner trying to figure out how in the hell I got there. You know, just trying to figure out what's going on. You know, what's wrong with me? Why can't I get this thing? You know, and I can remember the last detox I'd been in. You know, I had, I know I'm jumping around a little bit, but excuse me. The last detox I had went to, I went in that detox. You know, I the lady who was a nurse there, you know, had seen me a few times, and she looked at me. I was laying on the bed. She looked at me and said, "Don, you seem like a pretty nice guy. But if you don't do something about your addiction, you're not welcome back here. You know, you're not, this is not going to be your little crash spot where you come in, suit up, clean up, and then, you know, go back out and shoot dope." You know, and I shared this with this woman, what's going on. And for the first time, and I didn't know it right then, but she shared her story with me. You know, she shared about being a dope addict. She shared about how she went to nursing, got clean, went to nursing school, and now how she worked at that detox. You know, and we cried and we laughed. And I promised that lady that I would go to a meeting at noon if she let me out of that hospital by 11. And I had every intention of going to that meeting. You know, I was not lying. You know, I had every intention of going to that meeting. But between me and the meeting was the liquor store. And where I made that conscious decision to go get a drink, you know, I don't know. You know, and it don't matter today. But anyway, I left at the hospital at 11, went to that liquor store by 12. By 1 o'clock, I was smoking coke. By 3 o'clock, I was on my way back down Baltimore once again to get a bag of dope, trying to figure out how the hell I got there. You know, and you know, and what that treatment center taught me was, you know, how to control my addiction. Not control my addiction. How to fight my addiction, I should say. You know, and like I said, when I went in there, the thing I was open-minded. You know, I was willing. I was willing to listen to whatever they said. I laid in there, and I was dope sick for a couple of days. We weren't fortunate enough back then to have Suboxone and so forth. And I really didn't want to go on that. You know, I heard a lot of bad stories about that, and I didn't want to go on that. But what happened was at that treatment center was that for once in my life I realized that two things that I never tried to get clean with was abstinence and with help. You know, because every time I tried to get clean and every time I tried to stop using, I always tried it alone. I always said, "I can do this. I got this. I don't need nobody. You know, just, you know, leave me alone. I'm not hurting nobody." You know, and what that treatment center taught me, you know, was what it introduced me to was the Narcotics Anonymous. I had never heard of you people. You know, I never lived my life heard of you people. You know, I had went to those detoxes and so forth, and the Liquid Fellowship always came in, and they would bring us meetings, you know, but I couldn't relate. You know, I couldn't think, because for some reason I didn't think alcohol was a problem. You know, I thought I could drink just fine. You know, that's not my problem. And so I could never relate to it, you know, and all right, thank you, sir. Therapeutic value, we'll get to that. But anyway, I could never relate, you know, and after coming to Narcotics Anonymous, you know, I finally felt at home. I could finally listen, and I could finally share, and I could finally see people that had went through the same things that I went through, people that shared the same feelings that I shared, you know, and what I did was I got involved right away. You know, they told me things like when I got there to, you know, to get a sponsor, to get a home group, to get a service commitment, you know, and I got all of that stuff. As soon as I left that treatment center, you know, I got involved with a home group. I got a sponsor. Got a sponsor before I even left, actually. And, you know, and back then, you know, they did things different, you know, than they do now, you know. And, I mean, if it works, it works, you know. But things were a little different when I got clean. You know, I had got this guy, you know, and when I was in rehab, and I asked him to be my sponsor and so forth, you know. And I went home after listening to all this stuff these people told me about go to 90 meetings in 90 days. The first meeting you get to is the most important meeting you'll ever go to, you know. Go to one right away, you know. And I went home and I sat on the couch and I said, "What do I do now? You know, what do I do now?" But what had happened was I gave this guy my phone number and he called me, you know, and he's like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "Nothing." He's like, "Good, I'll be right over." You know, and this guy came over and he picked me up and he took me to a noon meeting. He dropped me off and says, "I'll be back at 6. He came back at 6 and took me to a 8 or 7 o'clock meeting. We left at 7 o'clock meeting at 8 o'clock, and he took me to an 8:30 meeting. And he took me back home, and he said, I'll see you tomorrow morning at 11:30. You know, he didn't ask me if I wanted to go. You know, he just says, I'll see you tomorrow at 11:30. You know, and when I went to these meetings, he took me around and introduced me to people, you know, and I joined a home group. You know, and when I joined this home group, you know, there was a guy, you know, standing over against the wall. You know, I didn't know the guy from Adam, you know. And he asked me, he's like, do you have a driver's license? I was like, yeah. You know, he says, is it valid? I said, yeah. It's like, do you have a car? I says, well, I have use of a car. I ain't have one, but I got use of a car. He says, is it legal? I was like, yes. He says, well, you see that guy over there? You know, he says, I want you to go over there and introduce yourself to that guy and take that guy to a meeting, you know. And that's what started my progress of reaching out. And, you know, to me, that's fanning the flames, you know, because I reach out. You know, I've done H&I for 12 years. You know, I just got out of an H&I commitment probably about last year, maybe. You know, this is one of my sponsees here. I gave it to him. But, you know, I spent a lot of times, you know, at, like, treatment centers, you know, reaching out to the newcomer. You know, every morning that I wake up and say a prayer and ask God to guide my life and to take my will and guide my life, that's fanning the flames of my desire, you know, because that shows me that I want to be clean today more than I want to use today. You know, and anyway, good thing it's all vibrate. But anyway, you know, and that's what I do. You know, it's just like that's what my sponsor instilled in me. That's what I instill in my sponsees. You know, you reach out, you help the newcomer. You know, if anyone knows me, anyone sees me, you know, that's all I do is I hang around newcomers. You know, and I try to help. I reach out. You know, I do what I do. You know, and I get what I get, you know. I don't give up on people. You know, I'm one of those guys that people will say, you know, why don't you leave them alone? They don't want to get clean, you know. And I'm like, I don't know, you know, because the very day is in my heart, I feel that the very day that I tell them no, maybe the day they get it. You know, it just may be the day they surrender, you know. And they always told me that once the pupil is ready, that the teacher will appear. You know, and I don't know who that person, I mean, you know, I can't judge anybody's willingness. I don't know when anybody will be ready, you know, anybody will surrender. You know, I've been, you know, struggling here lately because I have a son that's, you know, just got out of treatment and got in the rooms, you know, and well, he's here, sitting right over there, you know, and, you know, and, and what I struggle with, you know, is where do I draw the line? You know, where do I, you know, or how to separate, you know, the father role from the recovering addict role, you know, or where do I try to stop being a sponsor and just be a father, or, you know, and I've been struggling with that bad, you know, I mean, and, you know, and I love him, you know, and I just pray. You know, that he gets this program, you know, and it, you know, it works for him and it does for him what it's done for me. Because, you know, he's never seen me use, you know, and I got clean when he was really young, you know, and he was introduced into my life at 6, you know, and he's never seen me high. You know, he's been to a lot of my anniversaries, he's heard my story, you know, but it's hard when you're talking about one of your own, you know, it's hard to, like, let go and let God. You know, I want to stick my hand in there and do what I want to do, but I need to remember that every time I stick my hand into something, I usually pull back a handful of shit, you know, and that's what I got to remember, you know, that I'm not in control. You know, a long time ago when I first got clean, I had a sponsee brother who told me, he said there was two things that I needed to know about God, and he says the first one is that you ain't him. And the second one is that is he don't want to be you. You know, and I thought, man, whew, you know, that hurt, you know. But, this program and my recovery, you know, has it means more to me really than anything, you know, because without recovery, you know, I don't have anything. You know, without recovery,
You know, I don't know. This is my life.
You know, this is what I do. You know, I've got people in my home group that will tell me, you know, it's time for me to stop doing the things that I do. You know, I got a couple of them that are real adamant because I really reach out. I really like, you know, majority of the time you see me, I got a newcomer with me or somebody that's struggling, you know, or somebody that needs help, you know. And I have a lot of my home group members, you know, that always tell me, you know, it's time to stop doing what you do and take care of you. You know, you need to do you. But I'm like, you know, what I do is what makes me me, you know. And that's what makes me the happiest, you know. When God is ready for someone to be in my life, I really think he'll place them there. I won't have to go out looking, you know. He will place them there, you know. And that time just ain't now, you know. It's just not yet, you know. It's just not yet. You know, I got to remember that God answers all my prayers, you know. And sometimes the answer is not yet, you know. And I need to stop putting a question mark where God has put a period, you know. And do what I need to do to maintain my recovery, you know, to keep reaching out, as we say, fanning the flames, you know, and live life on life's terms, you know. And if you're here, you know, and you're new, you know, just keep coming back, you know, give yourself a break, you know, come in out of the storm, take a rest, you know, sit down a while, because if you was anything like me, you did a whole lot of walking. You know, a whole lot of walking, and usually it was in a little square of radius, you know, all down the block. You know, and when I got here, I was tired. You know, and what I found in Narcotics Anonymous is how to sit back, relax, you know, and let someone else take control. You know, realize that I don't have all the answers, you know, and nor do I want them, you know, but I don't know, you know, it's just, it's been a process. You know, it's been a process. If you're here, please get involved with STEPS. You know, it's a 12-step program. You know, why would you come to a 12-step program and not work STEPS? You know, I like to say coming to a 12-step program and not working the STEPS is like taking a boat and setting it on the beach because you ain't going nowhere. You ain't going nowhere, you know. And they told me when I got here that change I must, or die I will, and changes in the steps. You know, the changes in the steps, you know. There ain't no elevators, they said. You know, work the steps. You know, work the steps or leave. You know, there's a lot of things that were different, you know, when I got here, you know, than they are now, you know. And sometimes I think we coddle a little bit too much. You know, that's just my opinion, you know, what they say about opinions. But sometimes I think we coddle too much. You know, I have a friend who's like, who I was going to quote, we were just talking about it. You know, I'd rather tell you the truth and hurt your feelings and save your life than to appease you and let you go out and use and die. You know, because sometimes I don't want to hear the truth. You know, so I know other people don't. You know, sometimes I will know the truth and still do the wrong thing. You know, because my disease will attack me in every way. You know, ain't about getting high today. You know, it could always end up with a hype in my arm, but that's not where it starts. You know, it starts with the relationship. You know, whether it be the relationship with my mother, the relationship with my son, you know, the relationship with my daughter, you know. It can start anywhere. It can start with the relationship I got with my insurance man. If my cancels my insurance, you know, if I don't pay that shit and he cancels it, you know. You know, anything can set me off. Yeah, you know, anything. You know, because I will act out on anything. It don't take much. You know, it does not take much, you know. I've been around here, like I said, my clean date is March 10th, 1995. And I don't say that to brag. I say that simply to say the program of Narcotics Anonymous works. If you work the program, you know. And if you stay around here and you don't do anything, it will do you. Plain and simple, it will do you, you know, and I don't know, I've watched it time and time and time again, you know, and I've seen the results, you know, and I think I'll do my testing right here, clean, you know, and get ready to shut up, you know. I was kind of nervous about going first, Because then I said, oh, he'll get up here and, you know, I'll say things. Then he'll get up and he's going to say, I mean, damn, I wish I had said that. Or something like that, you know. You know, then I say, well, if I let him go first, then he'll say all the good shit and I won't have nothing to say. It's kind of a double-edged sword, you know. So I don't know, you know, like I said, this is not my element. You know, I do a lot better out there. You know, I'm like the soldier that would rather be in the trenches, you know, than to be up front in the spotlight. You know, it's just, I don't know, it's just not me. But this program has done so much for me that I will never refuse to do anything for it that I can, you know. And I don't know, I'd just like to thank the committee for asking me, the thinking of me, that, you know, that I got something to offer, you know, to somebody else, you know. And I don't know, you know, they always tells me, you know, that God talks to you through people. You know, he just doesn't tell me who. So I need to be open-minded and listen to everybody, you know. And when they told me to come down and share my experience, strength, and hope, you know, I was like, okay, you know. But I've been nervous as hell all day. I've been nervous as hell. I had to call my boy up right before the meeting and said, look, man, we need to pray. We need to pray. And then Kendall took one look at me and said, look, come on, we're going to pray, you know. And that's what I get in Narcotics Anonymous. I'm never alone unless I choose to be. Thanks for letting me share.
All right. Thank you very much. And next, I just met this gentleman. He told me to introduce him as Little Herman from New York City.
It's my birthday. Hi, family. My name is Herman. I'm an addict. And first things first, I need to thank God to allow me to make it to this convention. And with that, I'm truly grateful. I'd like to welcome anybody that they knew at their first convention. Like, you're in the right place. And for me today, I know I'm in the right place. I need to take this opportunity, right, to thank my stinking ass friend that claimed that he's blind, but he really can see. And if you don't know who that is, that's Melvin C. So when he get up here and he be telling y'all he can't see, he's a liar. He can see. And I just need to say that because that's my appreciation. Because all this has nothing to do with me. Coming here, being a part of this convention, has nothing to do with me. Coming to the convention was a gift, and God seemed fit for somebody else not to take a risk, but know that God has gave me the courage to be able to get up here to tell my own experience with it all. Because one thing I'm real clear about is to tell my story, because I don't want nobody else to tell my story. And once you get in here, you don't tell your story, God will have somebody come right behind you and tell your story for you. And it don't seem right. So when I got here, they told me to tell my own story. You know, when I got the topic, and then I got a home group. My home group is No More Excuses. It's 11 o'clock at night. If you ever in any kind of pain or drama, there's a meeting at 11 o'clock, and I'll be waiting for you. You know, on Monday night, it's Recovery Across the Park. And you know, when I got here, they told me to get a home group. And they made that really clear to me. They told me, Hermie, you get a home group, not a homeboy. They would say that to me too many times. They was like, nope, you get a home group, not a homeboy. So I took the suggestion. So I got a home group and it's Recovery Across the Park and it's No More Excuses, and I participate in my home group. And I just want to take the opportunity. I got some people in here that showed up for me. Yeah. They showed up and I ain't have to get on the phone and I ain't have to ask them. One person told one person and they showed up. And I don't know if you understand that, but that's real big for me. Real big. You know, I was on my way here, rushing to get here, and there's some people that was here saying, I'm going to be here when you get here. So when I got the topic in my home group, I really didn't kind of understand because I was excited. And when I get excited, I get flamey. Casey, if you don't know, you know, my blind friend, you know, he was like, come here and your topic is flame. All I heard was flame. I said, flame? Flaming? And one thing that I'm real clear about is that I am so grateful that I can be myself, whether I'm in New York, Ocean City, Alabama, Connecticut, I will always be myself. Always. So what happened, I really want to take this opportunity and thank you, Melvin. Thank you. Because I ain't asked for this. This was a gift. I was coming here to lay up, look at some people, go shopping, and feel fat. In the case, if you don't know what that is, that means feel good. So Melvin told me it was flames of desire. And I knew nothing about flaming before I got here. When I got here, let me tell you something. All I knew was flaming was to flame the desire to get more. You know, I don't know. You know, thank you for sharing your experience, Script and Hope. Because what happened is I'm here to tell you that something about flaming the desire is something about knowing it before you even know it. Because what happened, I smoke cracks. I smoke cracks. And I would do anything to get it. Whatever you're thinking about right now, I did it. And whatever you ain't thinking about, I did that too. And one thing that I'm real clear, that crack had the power to change me to somebody that I didn't want to be. It opened me up for suggestions, and it made me change my mind. Because I am a special kind of guy. But there's some things that I said that I would never do. Now, when I smoke crack, and I'm smoking with someone, and out of utter desperation, we are running out, you start looking like somebody else. So my desire increased and I would do anything to get it. And I never want to forget where I come from. So we talk about flaming desires, but what I knew, all I knew is to get the next one. But what happened is I hit a bottom. And you hear all kind of stuff, there's a hole in the bottom. I don't know nothing about that. This is a program that is phenomenal, that it has room for all manifestation of the recovering person. And if you don't understand with that, we don't care who you is. We don't care who you know. Because I didn't know Big Bob. I didn't know Fat Cat. I didn't know Bobby Joe. All I knew is Poopy. So we talk about from a place that I come from, I knew nothing about a desire. Nothing. So let me just say, I understand that you went to a rehab, but this program is phenomenal. I didn't go to no rehab. I didn't go to no detox. So if you're here, you ain't got to qualify to go to no places to be here. Your process is your process. I came here out the gutter with 3 p.m. pants, no self-esteem, no acceptance, and a mustache. And that's real big because you will never see a mustache again. If you see a mustache, I am smoking. Nigga. So we gotta keep talking about the desire. So what happened, I got here, let me tell you something, I got here when I was supposed to get here, and I'm here to tell a newcomer, because just got here, can't tell being here how to stay here, you got to find out how to stay here. So what happened when I got here, I'm telling the program with loving and Kim, and the program has not changed, it's the people, there's the people that got here with flaming my desire. There's a sister here that no longer lives in New York. And every time I see her, she still reminds me that she gave me my first hug. And that's big, because I wasn't looking for a girl to hug me. It wasn't. But let me tell you, I came here for $5. My process. My cousin told me if I come to her anniversary, she would give me $5. I'm here to tell you I never got the $5. Never. But I got freedom from active addiction and God willing, I got 17 years clean. So we talked about your own desire, not your sponsor's desire, not your support group's desire. We talked about your desire. So I'm here to talk about my desire, but when I got here, people was like Melvin was flaming desire because he was doing things that I wanted to do, and the only way I could do it, I had to stay here and get a desire to do it.
All right.
See, because we always talk about hating, and just that is not a good group name to use here. It's like jealous. If you want what somebody got, ask them how they did it and do it. So my desire was I want to stay clean. And I understand that you said that this is not your element, but this is mine. So whatever you didn't take care, I'll take care for you. Can I be me? Can I be me? Can I be me? All right, God damn it. So let's get to the desire. So I understand he was doing stuff I wanted to do, and they were talking about it was so important to get involved. You know, one thing to be in this program and not being involved and start feeling alone, then you get mad at other people because you don't feel like you're a part of. Because of your own desire. Something about the desire that matches with a passion. You gotta have a desire, but it gotta turn into a passion that no matter what, that you'll understand that this comes first. Yes. And I'm telling you, this is nothing that I don't say. I say what I do, and I do what I say. If you don't believe me, come to New York, and you'll see it. I make meetings every day because my desire. It's not for me to stay clean no more to help that person that has no self-esteem, that I can help build your self-esteem, and then you can no longer have to look on the ground. Now you can tell somebody you got a desire and help somebody else. That's what we do. But then you got folks who don't have a desire get mad at you because you have a desire. Get mad at you, because they're going to tell somebody else about your desire. Don't be mad at me, because I got a desire. I didn't understand about a desire. All I wanted to do was stop smoking crack. And let me just say, if you knew you ain't smoked crack, it's okay. Your drug is your drug, but I am a crackhead with experience. So y'all told me to share my experience, my strength, and my hope. My hope is that you never have to smoke crack to get experience. Can I be me? Well, if y'all say no, I'm gonna be me anyway. So what happened is now, like, now I'm getting in here, and now I got these 3-pair pants on, and now I'm taking one off, and I'm changing them. And I'm getting a desire. And the desire is that if you could stay clean, I could too. The desire is God will put somebody in your life. You better get somebody. You know how you get somebody in your life that you will never have more clean time than me, but it works with desire. You hear me? Like, I started getting my day once, and I would say, you'll never have more clean time than me. And they would say, you'll never. And the desire started coming, because I started, like, changing my clothes. But remember, I only had 3 pair of pants for 90 days. It's something about you start feeling good with a desire that no matter what, like I'm not going to use. And I changed the shirt, and I was washing my clothes with Ivory soap. I'm talking about soap. Bar the soap. I was washing my shirt and I was coming to the meet and I was getting the desire and y'all was remembering my name and y'all was saying you got 49 days and guess what? I found me a sponsor. And let me tell you something, be real careful. Cause they say look and listen for one to get a desire to help you. So when your desire is not full, come sometimes you can go to your sponsor and your sponsor can complain that desire once again. Got a corny-ass sponsor. Lord, I do. He been my sponsor for 17 years. The same cat who knows me. Let me tell you, my sponsor just talked to me before I got up here. And I love that nigga. Love my sponsor. Love my sponsor. Love my sponsor. My sponsor don't beat up on me. He don't judge me. He got my back like a jack. And some days my desire ain't right. And he's still flinging back to where it's supposed to be. Because sometimes I could desire some other things that has nothing to do. One thing I love about this program, that you will get a good me too. Because when you hear all that stuff, y'all desires be out of walk too, huh? And the reason why I love my sponsor, because he allowed me to be me. And I didn't know I had a desire. And one thing about having a sponsor is a two-way street. If you don't build with your sponsor can't build with you. If you feel you ain't got a connection with your sponsor, you got to look at yourself. What are you ain't doing to build, to get a desire to build your relationship with your sponsor? Because it's real easy to say, I got one. So what happened, I got the sponsor, and I started talking to my sponsor, and I started being honest with my sponsor. I started getting some help to where I could be able to flame the desire of a lot of other things. But I'm here to tell you, if you knew, the first thing that you need to flame is desire to not use no matter what. Let's go there first. See, because as you stay here, shit will shift, and it will change, and then you got to get yourself in position, because this is a program that you got to practice when nobody's around. Even when your sponsor ain't around, your sponsor ain't around, your fifth step to go-to people ain't around, you got to practice this program and still have a desire not to use when nobody's looking. See, because that's the best time that I got to practice the program, when I think nobody's looking. See, in a lot of time, we talk about what is the desire. The desire for me is I don't ever want to live like I was living March 13th of 1993 when I didn't have a choice. Yeah. It's something about when you get clean and you get a choice and learn to appreciate that choice with the desire. My choice is that no matter what, I ain't got to use no matter what. Until you stick around here, you start seeing other people's desires. God start putting people in your life to see that no matter what, they don't use, so you ain't got to use. I got all kinds of people in my life. People who sick, people who can't see, people just do all kinds of shit. They don't use, they don't use, so I can't use. My friend always tell you, don't get too cute, because you'll get too high for the program, so I ain't getting too cute. So we talk about my desire is strong today than my desire was 17 years ago. And the reason why, because guess what? They talk about harder to stay here. I don't believe it. It gets more difficult. And when I mean difficult, is that you got to start more on the program. You got to work the program to the best of your ability, not nobody else, because shit is going to happen. And I need to tell you, get ready, because the same thing you be sitting in the meeting, listening to other people complaining, will be the same shit 6 months later, your ass complaining. So, you know, they don't have a desire to stay clean. So you got to be real careful what you say and what somebody else's desire, because somebody else's desire might not be your desire. Stick on your desire. Because I heard what you eat don't make me shit. But I believe this program is so phenomenal with experience, that guess what? That we can get through anything. And now I'm talking about the we, because the desire I had to see other people's desire for me to be completely understanding about my desire. God put a brother in my life, I'm telling y'all. He lost everything. And you know, you want to hear, no matter what, I don't use. You know, I have a desire to stay clean, no matter what. I don't care what kind of the pipe, I don't use. Until that shit come. But God put people in my life. I'm telling you, there's a brother in my life, oh my God. And I'm telling y'all, he ain't shit. He ain't shit. I'm telling y'all, I'm talking about Melvin C, y'all. He ain't shit. But God put him in my life, and I seen him. And I walked him to meetings. And I walked him across the street. And I walked him across the street, and God showed me he lost everything. 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 Do you hear what I'm telling you? How you can sit there and watch somebody lose everything, and you talk about a desire. You talk about a desire. I'm talking about I had to walk him across the street. And the reason why it's so simple to me, because my father's blind. My father never got to see me. So automatically, I catered to him. But I'm telling you, God will do for me what I can't do for myself. You can't do for your father, but you will help him. And I wasn't doing it for him. I was doing it for me. But God was showing me how he lost everything. Y'all might not understand what I'm telling y'all. Melvin lost everything. And all he would say is, and I would be like, what? He would be like, I'm going to the meeting. Calling me, get me a ride to the meeting. I'm saying, nigga, you ain't got nothing. He'd be like, just take me to the meeting. And I don't know. It's easy to say right when it ain't you. Because I got to put on an outfit. And I got to be real careful what outfit I put on to go to the meeting. But I watch him not care about none of that. And that's what made my desire stronger to stay here, that no matter what, I will not juice. I'm a diabetic, and I hate it. And I say this all the time, I would have rather been HIV positive than being a diabetic. And people say, oh, don't say that, don't say that. Don't tell me what to say or what I feel about my desire. Being a diabetic, a lot of shit come along with it. And I had to go to Melvin. Because I couldn't accept that shit wasn't happening right no more. And he would tell me shit like, have the desire, live your life, and live it like it ain't tomorrow. So we talk about desires, and you got to find out what is your desire. See, because I understand that God put him in my life to show me stuff. I didn't know stuff about having a real desire not to use drugs. Because what happens, we're real clear, if you use drugs, you become a bum. I understand that part. I understand that if you use drugs, you will exchange favors with people that you don't want to exchange favors with no more. You will smoke with people and you can't talk, and then you don't know their favorite color afterwards. So I don't want to do that part no more. But your desires can shift. I don't want to be a bum, but I want to rock over there. You know, I want to jump up and down somewhere. And a lot of times your desires might not be right, and God will show you that it's not the right desire to have, because anything that you put in before God, God will remove it. So a lot of times you got to question your own desires. Let me just give you an example. I desire Breyers ice cream. And it bothers me because all my friends will tell you that I am a Pathmark junkie. I love catching the sales. I go to Pathmark every night. And I check aisles to make sure stuff is in the aisle. I know when the circular comes out, I know what's going to be on sale, I know who's there, I have a girl there, and my line says, please tell them. And I desire to be in the middle of my $2,000 bed and eat Breyers ice cream. I desire that. But it doesn't desire me. And I'm just giving you a prime example about a desire that is no good for you, that you think you want, that is no good for you. It's just like my thinking. You think that I think that I think that you think that you think that I think that I think that you think that that desire is right. So I didn't know none of that stuff until I got here. You know, so that's why they tell you, check your thinking. Right? You know, you be here a while, you get the sponsor, you start doing stuff where it can tell you to stop, you get the privilege to think, but you still got to bounce your thinking off on somebody. Yes. And a lot of times, I believe in sponsorship. I don't believe of going to a support group member before I go to my sponsor. Because any time that you got to go to a support group member before you go to your sponsor, you know this shit ain't right. So you need somebody to co-sign it. So that's why you go to... I believe in sponsorship. So we talk about not being perfect, because there's some shit that I desire that is no good for me, but I want it. It's just like a snake. You know a snake bites, and you pick it up and it bites you. You get mad, but the whole shit is because I like the way it wiggles. So we talk about that desire is no good for me. And it's real easy for you to talk this program right here. We talk about, like, a lot of days, I got to have the desire not to use. And I ain't talking about drugs. I'm talking about having the desire not to use somebody just to exchange. I'm telling you, I struggle. Because I can have anything I want. If I can't have it, I'll pay for it. Yes. Yes. And we talk about desire is that I want to live better today. I want to be a better person. I want to be a better person to stand up for me. I want to have self-esteem that I don't have to be able to get the self-esteem for a kind of you just so we can swap just for it. Then afterwards, I tell you, you got to go because my mother's coming home. So we talk about a desire. 17 years later, I still have the desire to stay clean. I still have the desire to help that newcomer. I still have that desire to tell them that if you don't believe, believe that I believe that this program is phenomenal. Don't worry about the people so much. Don't. Oh, you hear people, oh, the program, the fellowship. Huh? Don't worry about the people. Rock with the program. Rock. Get some people that doing what you want to do. Because guess what? Let me just tell you this. If you want to be with people that ain't doing shit, you'll be with them. Your desire will get with the people that ain't doing shit. If you have a desire that you want to stay clean and you want to do spot work and you want to get to know yourself, your desire will get with people that's doing that. I believe in this program. And I believe in some people. Guess what? I don't put expectations on my friends. Because my friend, They'll talk about you and laugh right in your face. We call it Kiki. Let me expose them. See them? They right over there. I've exposed them. Right there. Happy Tally, right there in Melbourne. I'm exposed them. And don't forget about Butch Eva. I'm exposed, my friends. No shade. Love, my friends. Because we're going to keep it 100 and we're going to keep out your ass. So you better have a desire to stay clean. Because if you don't stay clean, we'll get you. We'll start saying all kind of shit. And I'm telling you, because when I got clean, I didn't know it was going to be like this. You hear me? I didn't know it was going to be like this. So if you knew, this thing is not hard. It's not. You don't pick up. You make memes. You call and you use your sponsor. And you do what you are told. When you don't do what you are told, you struggle in this program. Oh, you don't tell nobody what to do here. You know, I got sponsors that tell me in a minute I'm a grown-ass man. And that was the last time he ever told me that. Because you can't be grown in this program. You still got to listen. 17 years later, I still listen to my sponsor, and he still tell me things that I don't like. Like he'll tell me this is Narcotics Anonymous, not Herman Anonymous. That's just a perfect example. So we talk about finding out what's your desire to stay clean. What's the desire you will flame? What is the desire that you will flame? Because I believe in this program. It ain't not perfect. Some days I feel like a nut. Some days I don't. But you better believe I don't smoke cracks by any means necessary. So we talk about flaming the desire. Right? And I'm telling you, my desire is stronger than my desire to use drugs because I'm in my home group every night. Not that I don't want to, but I have to because my friend said my life is on the line. But I'm telling you, this is what I've been doing for 17 years, so I don't know what else to do. And I live good. Don't you ever let nobody tell you, you making me every day, you don't have a life. Hell no. I live good with a good life. Good, that the shit scares me sometimes. And I'm not the one always sharing about what I got either. You better ask my friends. I ain't got nothing. They be like, I ain't got nothing. They be like, where you going? I ain't going nowhere. What you doing? I ain't doing nothing. I'm going to the meeting. I just had to convince my friends. So I'm telling you, you ain't got to tell. Live this program. Don't do a lot of talking. Do a lot of living. Thank you. Thank you, Matt. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I didn't desire to have friends when I got here. Stinking ass Melvin again. He's gonna be all on this CD. He deserved it with his stinking ass. I shared it in me that I got five friends. And Melvin's the type, you know, when he wanna share with you, he act like he can't see. So he did like this. And you know, I don't have time for a laugh. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. He like, let me tell you something. Whoa, 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 whoa. He said, stop sharing that you got five friends because there's a whole lot on the way. And in this room. When we talk about friends, your friends is like, you know their last name, Melvin Carr. You know their last name. I got friends that I know their last name. I got friends from all over that come to support me, to text me, to call me. I'm going to be there. I didn't desire that when I got here, because I'm a special kind of guy. I ain't think I was going to have no friends, no men in my life. I'm the only gay guy in recovery that got so many men in my life, because I desire that my sexuality does not dictate my recovery. And that's for real. So if you have a little things going on with your sexuality, you are welcome to. Just don't desire to mess with people in here. Give yourself a break. And that's what I do. I got friends in here, man. I'm talking about I got homies that treat me like they little brothers. They make me like man it up sometimes. I be like, yeah, what up? What up, son? You know, they teach me shit. Like, you know, I know my hand game is tight. I got a design. Shit, what, nigga? What, nigga? As soon as I finish, I'll be like, yo, what up, nigga? That's my desire. My desire is when you love me. When you love me. No matter what. You know, I don't care anyway. Because to know me is to love me. And one thing you will do is you will respect me. Right? So I'm winding it up, right? But let me just tell you something. That's what's been going on. You know, 33 years ago, I was molested. And I was molested by a guy, right, that now is coming into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And it's real easy for you to share your issues, and then you got people want to laugh at you about your issues. I'm here to tell you, when you hear people sharing about their issues, don't make jokes about their issues. Because it takes a whole lot of desire to explode, to be able to dig in, to get that trash out, to get better with, for you to play jokes with it. That ain't cool. So what happened, the guy is now, he's here and, you know, he's coming to meetings and, you know, he's talking about, he's finding out for people, oh, Herman, you helped the newcomer, can you help me? I said, no, because you helped yourself to me. But it don't work like that. See, I'm the one that helped the newcomer and you don't know who God is going to send for you to help. So I had to help him. But it was hard. It's hard. Helping somebody that violates you and you claim that you got the desire to stay clean. Help him. Help him. We talk about the guy that violates you. I'm talking about every time it rains, I struggle. My friends is there for me. When it rains, I'm struggling. Because I remember 33 years what was happening. He violated me on the roof, but the sick part was I started standing on the stoop looking for him. Because I thought you love me. So we talk about the sick desire can be sick too. I started looking for him. Because he said, shut up, don't tell nobody. And I love you. So we talk about being real careful in here. Real careful. And one thing I respect, my friends laugh, but they don't mess with me on a rainy day. They don't. It's rough. And I know when it's coming. And God will make it be like rain coming out my house or in my home group. Do you know how safe I feel when it's raining and I'm in my home group at 11 o'clock and it's raining and all my friends are there and Melvin's in the back, hospitality's working out the door? But I look in the back and I see Melvin. Talk about the desire. I don't want to smoke crack. But the desire got to be stronger than wanting to smoke crack. Huh? We talk about this goes deeper. We talk about having acceptance on a deep level. We talk about desire goes on a deeper level. Because we'll say no matter what, and God put Melvin in and show me no matter what. But guess what? When it rains, shit be going through my head. And the only thing that saves me is the advocates to the diseases. I don't want certain people to have more clean time than me. And it works for me. No, we don't wear this like a badge. We don't wear it like a badge. But if I use it, it would be all the way down in North Carolina. Tomorrow we'll hear about it. Little Herman smoked crack. So when I think about smoking crack, because, you know, I want to smoke crack, and I want to smoke with six people, and I want them to do what I say do. That shit don't work. So I go to the meeting. I go to the meeting, and I laugh with my friends. And we start talking nasty jokes, and it get me through. Because my friends are nasty. I know about all my friends. I know everything they like. I know how they like it. And we just get in the meeting, we just talk nasty. They call me all kind of faggots. They be like, you fake. I wouldn't trade them in for nothing in the world. So I'm here to tell you, get some people in your life that know you. We know you when you think we don't know you. We know what you do when you think we don't know what you're doing. Because everybody can't hold water. You hear me? Everybody can't hold water. And one thing that I would not do is I would not let my sponsor know something about me that I didn't tell, that somebody else got to tell my sponsor first. The desire is still the same as 17 years later. I believe in calling my sponsor. Let me tell you something. I call my sponsor on every day on the answer machine, and when I call him, it's like I'm talking to my sponsor. Then I go to my friends. Because, you know, if you want something co-signed, you know who to go to. We all got to co-sign a friend. Don't we? Even our wives can be a co-signer. Our wife, baby, think, yeah, baby, that's right. Don't pay her no mind, baby, that's right. I be like, yeah, she co-signing. So I'm saying, find out what's your desire. My desire is to stay clean. My desire is to help somebody else. My desire is to take care of my body better than I did last year. And I'm telling you, thank God for the desire. But I'm tired. I want something that is no good for me, and I know it ain't no good, because I see what y'all got. Y'all paint the picture so pretty, and I find out the picture really ain't pretty. So I get angry. I get mad. When my desire is going to come? Because, you know, I always pick somebody that ain't got a Metro card. Nowadays, I got to say, you got a Metro card? My desire is I want to be with somebody, but I don't want nobody to be me on the expense of who I am. Yes, yes. I don't. Oh, you little Herman, you got this? No. Don't ask to borrow my shirt. You know, I've run into people like that. Could I borrow your shirt? They laugh because they know. You see my drunk, drunken friends, they laughing? See, they know. They know. You see them laughing, right? Look, I have to expose them. Look at them. You see them, right? Tomorrow night, they're going to be kikiing. I had a ball with y'all. I had a ball, and I know that y'all understand flaming the desire. Whatever your desire is, flame it. I'm talking about my desires. Thank God for my friends to help me teach me how to flame desire. Because real easy and real talk, you got to dance in the rain with your desire. You know how when you think everything is all over? You know, Melvin say this thing about shout. I mean, God is show out. He said he just showing out. And you know how you hear something to me and it just go through your body? Like, just hold on, because God is just showing out. That's how I feel sometimes. Because a lot of times I go home by myself in a $2,000 bed and a $47 pillow by myself. and I see other people doing what I want to do, and then I go like, nah, I don't want to do that. Because I can't have what I want. And what I want is in my first, but what I want is always unavailable to somebody else. And I ain't doing that no more. Y'all taught me I could be first. I got self-esteem because I do self-esteemable things, so I ain't settling. That shit don't sound good 3 o'clock in the morning holding your pillows with a 7-inch TV and a 40-inch tube and you want to show somebody some hospitality. And you'll call your drunk friend like hospitality and hospitality getting it popping. Then I get angry at him. Like, later, nigga! He be like, yo. He be like, peace. I be like, nigga, what you doing? But you don't have to be a hater. And a hater is being jealous. Because I'm going to get in lane. I'm going to get in my lane, and I'm going to play my position. And I know it's coming. But I got to be ready for when it comes. Because, see, I know I ain't ready. I don't know how to commit. I don't know how to share. I know how to share with the newcomer, but I don't know how to share with somebody I'm intimate with. It's mine. That's mine. No, that's mine. No, don't do it like that. You know, no, that's mine. I don't know how to share. So I believe that. You know, I tell my friends, right? And I'm going to say this to get ready to go because he flipped the paper, right? You know, a lot of times, you know, God will put people in your life. You know, the sister, you know, I think she be driving me home. But a lot of times, all she be doing is drive me home so her ass can share. But she don't know that I'm listening to her because I don't want to repeat the same shit. Because I'm the one to tell you, if you love somebody, you got to let them go. If they come back, they're yours. They never come back, they was never yours. But how about when they come back and you don't want them? I'm talking about that's nothing I mimic. That's my experience. I didn't mimic that. That's my experience. Because I know how it is to love somebody, have the desire to love you, and love you so much it don't even love me. I know how it is to buy you a pair of boots and don't buy me. But you look good, boo. But that shit has changed. All the boots and shoes are for me. So anything you in here struggling with, stick around with the desire, it will change. Get some people in your life that won't beat up on you, and you will change. Not at Sparks' expense, not at your two go-to friends' expense, but when God chooses fit and you are sick and tired of being sick and tired. It's something about when you whip your own ass. Like, ah, I'm tired. I'm tired. I don't want to do it no more. So I just want to tell my friends, the people that showed up for me, thank y'all. Thank you to me. I talked about you too. That was the first girl that hugged me right there, y'all. Yes. So I want to tell y'all, if nobody told you they love you today, I love you and love the love of God. Thanks for letting me share.